Shalom to all. Today's daf is about Basa Daf Kuf Mem Hey. We're starting about the fourth line with the word Lema, and today's daf is sponsored by Lilu Nishmas Marsh Miriam Sar Basa Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now, in the previous Amud, in the course of a broader discussion, we quoted a memory, the name of Shmuel, in between Kiddushin and Nisuin. The man was Makadish the woman, but they didn't have a chance to bring it to Nisuin, and then the husband died. The woman does not have to return that Kesef Kiddushin because she could say, Tanuli Baaliv Esmachima, you give me my husband, I'll rejoice with him. Meaning, it's his fault that we're not having the Chasana, and I don't have to give back the money. Something more suggests Lema, Tanuli Baaliv Let's say that this idea of Tanuli Baal Ves Machimai is Machalakas Tanoim. The time you have a breast that says, Ma'aris Isha, a man was Ma'aris a woman, and he died or divorced her before Nisuin, Besula Gav Masayim Almana Mana. If she's a Besula, so she gets 200 for Ksuba. If she's an Almana, she gets 100. And Makam Shana Gul Hachzi Kedushin, Machzirin. If it's a place where the man gets to return the Kedushin, she would give it back. Whereas Makam Shana Gul Shalai Lachzi Kedushin, and Machzirin. If it's a place where the man is not to return the Kesel Kedushin, she doesn't have to return it. Divi Reb Nasan, that's what Reb Nasan says. Whereas Reb Yudan Nasi, and Reb Yudan Nasi tells us, Be'amazam Ruchute said, Makam Shana Gul Hachzi Machzirin. If the minig is to return it, she returns it. If the minig is not to return it, so she doesn't return it. I think we're asked the obvious question. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Hanu Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi seems to be saying the same exact thing in Tanakama is that it depends what the minig is. If the minig is to return it, return it. If not, she doesn't have to. But obviously, there's machlokes between them because that's the way the Brisa sets it up. So what is machlokes? Elav, it must be. The machlokes is whether or not she has this taina of giving my husband and I'll rejoice with him. And actually, there's something missing from the Brisa. And this is really what should be taught. Hamaris is Isha, if a man is Ma'aris a woman and he dies or divorces her, Basula Gav Masayim Almana Mana. If she's a Basula, she collects 200 for Ksuba, or if she's Almana, she collects 100 for Ksuba. And here's the missing piece, Bamedvar Murim, when was this stated? The Hadr Bei Ihu. That's if he retracted, he went back. For example, he divorced her or died. Aval Mesa, but if she was the one that died, then Makam Shanagul Hachzir Machzirin, if the minig is to return the money, so she would have to return it. Whereas Makam Shanagul Shalal Hachzir Machzirin, if the minig is not to return the money, so she doesn't return it. And to clarify this, we emphasize, Vidafka Shemesa he, that's only if she died, Aval Mesa. Who, but if he died in machzirin, she doesn't have to return it at all. And my time, why is that? Because yechayli hisha taimar, she could say tenuli bali v'esmachimai, give me my husband and I'll rejoice with him. And since obviously the husband can't be given over because he died, she doesn't have to return the kiddushin. And so we see that Reb Nasan, who's a Tanakama, holds this svara of tenuli bali v'esmachimai. And also Reb Yehuda Anasi, the meimar, Reb Yehuda Anasi comes along to say that be'emes amrun truth, they said bein meis who, bein meis he. It doesn't make a difference if he or she died. It also do with the minug. Makam shenagul lahachzir machzirin, makam shenagul shloi lahachzir ein machzirin. That if the minug is to return the Kesef Kedushin, she has to return it. If not, she doesn't have to return it. And V'loi Matzi Yomar, she's not able to say, Tunuli Bali Vesmech Imai, you give me my husband and I'll rejoice with him. And so it seems to me that this idea is Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not so. Really, to Kol Yalma, everyone holds Yichal Shetaymar, she's able to say, Tunuli Bali Vesmech Imai, you give me my husband and I'm going to rejoice with him. And Udemeshu Kol Yalma Plegi, when he, the husband, died, no one argues that she's able to tie into this. Ki Plegi, so what's the Machlokes Tanakam and Rebu Danasi? Shemesa he, where she died, and so what is the Machlokes? And this concept of whether or not Kiddushin is given litivuin. Now, literally, the word tivuin comes from the word litbaya, which means to sink or to drown. And the same way, if you drop something into water, it's going to sink and go all the way to the bottom and you're never going to get it back. So it's the same idea with Kiddushin. When a man is Makadish a woman and he gives her money, is that money litivuin? Meaning, is that money never able to be taken back? Or perhaps it is in a certain situation. And that's what the Machalika says. Rav Nasan Sar, Rav Nasan holds Kiddushin lav litivuin nitnu. The Kiddushin is not given litivuin, and therefore sometimes the husband is able to get it back. Whereas Rav Yudan Nasi Sar, he holds Kiddushin Litivuin nitnu. The Kiddushin money is given Litivuin and the husband's never able to get it back. Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Baham Makam Shnagul Hachzir Machzir Katani. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said Beferush that if the Minig HaMakam is to return it, so it has to be returned. So does it mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds Kiddushin Litivuin nitnu? That's mashma that never has to be returned. But he said very clearly that sometimes it does have to be returned. So the Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar, this is what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is saying. Vesivlainos, in regards to the presents that the Chasan sends to the Kala after they get engaged, Vade Makam Shnagul Hachzir Machzirin, for sure, in regards to those, if the Minig is to return those presents, so then she would have to return them. But Kiddushin money never has to be returned. Sivlinus, those presents, yes. But Kiddushin money, no. Evani Tanoi, Kani Tanoi. These Tanoim are like other Tanoim. We see another Machlokes Tanoim like this. A Tanya of Brisa tells us, Kitchev a Kikar, let's say he was Mekadesh with a Kikar. Now, Kikar literally means a block of silver, and according to the Rashbam, that's 25 money, which is quite a lot of money. And then he dies or divorces her. Besulu Gav Masayim, Almana Mane. If she's a Besulu, she gets 200 as her Ksuba, and if she's an Almana, she gets 100. Divir Amei, that's Rare's opinion. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, Besulu Gav Masayim, Almana Mane. If she's a Besula, she gets 200. If she's an Amana, she gets 100. Umachzeres loyas hashar, and she has to return the rest, which means she got 25 mana, which is 2,500 zuz for her kiddushin. And if she was a Besula, she only gets to keep 200 of those zuz, and she has to return the rest. Rabbi Yossi says as follows, and he's a totally different opinion, which the Gemara is going to explain soon. Kitcha be'esrim, if he was Makadisha with 20, noisen lo shloishim chatzayin, he has to give her 30 halves. And kitcha be'shloishim, if he was Makadisha with 30, noisen lo esrim chatzayin, he has to give her 20 halves. So now we analyze this Brisa. up. I'm asking, what are we talking about? Elema Shemesa. If you want to say we're talking about she died, well, Mias La Ksuba, does she get a Ksuba in the first place? If she died, she wouldn't be collecting a Ksuba. So it can't be that's what we're referring to. If Ela Shemes, who? You want to say maybe he died? Well, then Amai Machzer Zloy Sashar. Well, then why would she have to return the extra Kedushin money? Venema, why didn't she say, Tanuli Bali Vesmachima, you give me my husband and I'll rejoice with him? And we just said before that everyone agrees to this Svara. So there's no reason why she should have to return all the extra money she got. Vel rather, you want to say, Be'ish Yisrael Shazinsa? They were talking about the wife of Yisrael who was Mizana after Erisin. Well, Amai, what are we referring to? Ibaratzain, if she did Baratzain, she did it willingly. Mias Laksuba, does she get a Ksuba? No, he divorces her and she doesn't get any money. Vel Ba'inus, rather, you want to say that she was violated by Ines? Well, in that scenario, Meshra Sharyole, she's permitted to remain married to him, and they're allowed to go through with Nisuin. Why would he be divorcing her and giving her Ksuba in the first place? Ve'el, rather, finally comes the Gemara with its answer, Be'eshas Kain Shenensa, we're referring to the wife of a Kain who was violated. And we know that even though it was an Ines, since her husband's a Kain, in this case, they're just Arus and Arusa, they're not fully married, but either which way, she's not allowed to remain married to him. However, he does have to give her a Ksuba because it's not her fault. It was an Ines. And with Kiddushin Latibuin Nitnu Kamiflagi, their whole machlaikis is whether Kiddushin is Latibuin. Is it irretrievable or not? Rav Meir holds Kiddushin Latibuin Nitnu. The Kiddushin is given Latibuin, and the moment he gave her all this silver for her Kiddushin, he's never able to get it back, and that's why he has to give her a Ksuba on top of that. Whereas Rav Yehuda holds a lav Latibuin Nitnu. It's not given Latibuin, and that's why she gets to take however much her Ksuba is, 200 or 100, but the rest has to be returned. And now here we come to the third opinion, Rabbi Yaisi, Mesapka Le Ilitivuin Nitnu Eloi. He's Mesapka whether or not Kiddushin is Nitnu Latibuin, and we know that in every case of Suffolk Mumminus, if we're not so sure what to do in a monetary matter, we split it. It's Chalkin, it's divided, and that's understanding Rav Yaisi's opinion. Now, before we continue, let's just clarify. All the numbers we're going to be listing are in Shkalim, and the rate is 1 shekel to 4 zuz. And also, Rabbi Yaisi's example is dealing with an almana whose ksuba is 100 zuz. And since he's besuffic, if the Kiddushin is Latibuin, she's therefore only able to keep half of it as Kiddushin, and the other half is meant to be used as her ksuba, and the husband just has to fill in the remainder of the ksuba. Behilkach, therefore, says the Gemara, Kitcha be'esrim, if he was Makadish her with 20 shekel, and if we multiply that by 4 to get to zuz, so we have a total of 80 zuz over here, that means 40 of it is allowed to be kept as Kiddushin, the other 40 is used to go towards her ksuba, nice and law shleshim chatzayim, so now he just has to give her 30 halves, which is a total of 15 shekel, 15 times 4 is 60, that means he adds on 60 zuz, so now she has 40 plus 60 zuz, which is 100, and that's her ksuba. And doing the math the other way around as well, kitcha b'shleshim, if he was makadish her with 30, that's a total of 120 zuz, so she's able to keep 60 as her kesef kiddushin, the other 60 is part of her ksuba payment, and then, nice and law esrim chatzayim, he gives her 20 halves, which is 10 full shekel, you multiply that by 4, that's a total of 40, so now she has 60 plus 40, and that's her ksuba. And again, that's because Rabbi Yaisi is besafik, whether or not kiddushin is litivu nitnu, and that's why he divides everything in half. We continue talking about this, Amar Yosef bar Menyumi, Amar of Nachman, b'chol makam shenagu l'hachzir, machzirin. In all places that the minig is to return it, and it has to be returned, and v'terguma, this is explained as referring to the following place, Narda, that this was the minig in Narda. Shar Bavel Mai, what about the rest of Bavel? So Rabbi Yosef, Dam Shavayu, both of them say, Mayarei Hadre, the gifts are given by the chasen to the kala, those have to be returned, but kedushi, loy Hadre, the kedushin does not have to be returned in the rest of Bavel. And Amar Papa tells us, Hilchasa the halacha is, Bein Shemesu, Bein Shemesahi, whether he or she died, or Vahadre Behu, it could be that he retracted, he was the one that went back and decided to divorce her. Mayarei Hadre, kedushi, loy Hadre, the gifts have to give him back, but the kedushin does not. Hadre Ba'ihi, but if she retracted, if she went back, maybe she got cold feet and she decided, that's it, I'm not going through with the chasid, I'm not getting married. Afilu kedushin nami hadri, even the kedushin has to be given back. Now, Meimar Amar Meimar argues on this, and he says kedushin loy hadri, even when she backs out, she gets cold feet and decides not to go through with it, still the kedushin doesn't have to be given back. Why is that? Gzeira shemu yomer kedushin tayfes b'chaisa. It's gzeira. People might say the kedushin is tayfes with her sister. We know that once a man is mekadesh a woman, even if he doesn't go through with the chasana, he's not allowed to marry her sister or, by that matter, any of her relatives. Now, Meimar is afraid that if she's going to have to give the kesef kedushin back, people are going to say that really this kedushin wasn't chal limafreya, meaning the kedushin never happened in the first place, and that this man would be allowed to marry her sister, and obviously he's not because it was valid kedushin. And therefore, says Amemar, the kedushin money never has to be given back. However, Ravashi argues and says, the fact that she's receiving a get from her husband, that's going to prove that she was 100% married to him, it was a valid kedushin, and no one's going to make this mistake. However, the Gemara tells us that what Ravashi just said is not true, the ikka deshama baha, v'leshama baha. Someone might hear about this and not hear about that. He might hear about the fact that she had to give her kesef kedushin back, but he didn't hear about the fact that she got a get, and so he might say, look, she gave the kesef kedushin back, she was never mekudeshes in the first place, and so kedushin is mutter with one of her relatives. And therefore, a memar svara holds strong. And continuing to explain the mission, we said, shashu shvinus nigvus in bezdin, because shvinus could be collected in bezdin. Now let's just chazer what this shvinus was. It was quite an interesting minig that they had back in the day, where we have, let's say, two friends, Reuven and Shimon. When Reuven comes to Shimon's chasana and rejoices with him, eats the meal, and gives him a present, that's something that Shimon is mechayiv to repay him. He has to reciprocate it. Now, when Reuven gets married, Shimon has to come to Reuven's wedding and give him a present as well. And here we go through many different details of this concept of Shushvinos. Tana Rabbanu, we have a braisa. Chamishit Dvarim Nemar B'Shushvinos. There are five different things that are said with this Shushvinos, this present that a chassan gives to his friend. Number one, Nigvas B'Bezdin. It could be collected in Bezdin, meaning it's a real chiyuv to repay. V'chazeres by Nasa, it only has to be repaid in its time, meaning when the first gift giver, that first friend, Reuven, when he gets married, that's the only time that Shimon has to repay it. And V'Ein B'Mishum Ribbis, there's no issue of Ribbis. If Shimon decides to give a larger or more expensive present than Reuven did, there's no issue of Ribbis. Kovem Heyam Bez on top, V'Ein Shvius Misham Tasa. Shvius is not Misham at the loan. We know that if a person owes money and it comes Shemitah time, that loan is canceled. This Chiv to repay the gift is not canceled. And V'Ein B'char Not Abav Yishnayim, if this gift is being returned to an estate, a B'char does not get double in it. And now we explain all these parts of the Braisa. Nigvas B'Bezdin, my time, why is it that this gift could be collected in Bezdin? Meaning, why is it a real Chiv for Shimon to repay it? Kamilva Damya, because like a loan, we view Reuven's gift to Shimon as if he's giving him a loan that now Shimon has to pay back. However, there's no issue of ribbis here, as there is with regular loans, because he didn't give it to him al-das that. Reuven didn't give a gift to Shimon al-das that Shimon's going to give him a more expensive one. That's a problem of ribbis. If Shimon wants, he could gift Reuven something with the same exact value as he was gifted, and that's not a problem. And therefore, if he gives more, that's also not a problem. He's just not allowed to give less. That's an important point. We continue, Vein Shvius Misham Tasa. Shvius is not Mishamet. It doesn't cancel this Chiyuv. And why is that? Deloy Karina Bey, La Yigais. Wouldn't apply the pasuk of La Yigais in regards to a regular loan from Beryl to Shmerel, for example. Now Shmerel owes Beryl money and it's Shemitah. The pasuk says La Yigais. Beryl is not allowed to press. He's not allowed to hound Shmerel for the money because it's Shemitah and Shemitah cancels the loan. But let's say Beryl lent Shmerel money for 5 years. And in the middle of those 5 years, Shemitah comes. So there's no issue of La Yigais. Don't press him for the money because anyway, the loan is not due until after Shemitah. So that's a case where Shvius is not Mishamet the loan. And it's the same thing over here. If Reuven's not married yet and it happens to be a Shemitah year, Shimon can't say, oh, I don't have to give you your gift because Shemitah cancels it. Anyway, there's no din of La Yigais. Reuven wouldn't be able to press Shimon for the gift in the first place because, again, he's not married yet. So therefore, Shvius is not Mishamet it. And last, Avayin Bachar Nato Pishnayim, a Bachar doesn't get double in this gift, Tavalei Roy, because it's Roy. It's only fitting to come to this state. It's not here yet. Avayin Bachar Nato Baroy Mochsek, and we already know that a Bachar does not get double in Roy, something that's fitting to come to the state like he does with Mochsek, something that his father owned when he died. And we continue discussing this. Omar Rav Kana tells us, Claude Shushvinusa, the rule of Shushvinus is as follows. Havi b'masa, if Shimon's in town when Reuven's getting married, Ibayle l'mesa, he has to come to the chasana. And even if he didn't come to the chasana, he still has to give Reuven a gift. Now let's say Shimon wasn't in town, but Shamakal Tavla, he heard the bell ringing, inviting everyone to the chasana. It must be that he was a little bit outside the town. So he knows because of this bell that Reuven's getting married, Ibayle l'mesa, he has to come. And if he doesn't come, he still has to give the gift. But let's say Loi Shamakal Tavla, he didn't hear the bell ringing, so he didn't know that Reuven was getting married, Ibayle l'due. Reuven has to tell Shimon, by the way, I'm getting married, come to my chasana. And if Reuven didn't tell him, Tarume Sislay, Shimon has complaints on Reuven. He could say, why didn't you tell me you're getting married? But nonetheless, Shlomo Meshalim, he still has to pay up and he has to give Reuven a gift. Now, these scenarios where Shimon didn't come to the chasana, Va'ad Kama, how much money can he subtract from the gift? Because if he would have went to the chasana, he would have had some of the tasty food there and that would have offset the cost of the gift. And now that he didn't come to the chasana, he's allowed to subtract some of the money off of this gift that he's giving Reuven. Amar Abaye Abaye says, Nagu B'nei Gnana, people that go to chasanas, this is what the minig is, Ad Zuza, if the gift that he's giving is up until the value of a zuz, then we say as follows, Aisa b'chape, achle b'krese. What he brought in his hand, he ate in his stomach. In other words, if you're bringing a gift that's worth a zuz, you're going to end up eating a zuz worth of food. So basically, the value of your gift was canceled out by the food that you were going to eat. And that means that when Shimon doesn't go to Reuven's chasana, he could subtract at least a zuz off of the gift, because again, he didn't end up eating that zuz worth of food. Abai continues, Ad Arba, if the gift is up until 4 zuz worth, Mishalim Palga, he only has to pay half. Because when a person brings a gift of such significant value, he gets fed much tastier and more expensive food, and so he's going to end up eating half of that, which is, let's say, 2 zuz. And that's how much Shimon could subtract from the gift that he's giving if he didn't show up to the chasana. Now, mikan ve'elech, if the gift is more than 4 zuz, enish chashivuse, we treat each person based off of his chashivas. So if a person is bringing a really expensive gift, then he's going to be given much more expensive, much tastier food, and it really all depends on the situation and on the gift. And by the same token, if Shimon was gifting Reuven something very expensive and he didn't show up to the chasana, he gets to subtract based off of how expensive that gift is. And the Gemara continues on Rabbanu, we have a braisa. Asa imi bepumbi. Let's say when Reuven rejoiced with Shimon, it was bepumbi, it was in the open, and it was a very joyous chasana because everybody was there. It was freilich. Ubikesh lasos imi betzina. And then the return request was to do a betzina quietly. When Reuven was getting married, he decided he wants a quiet chasana. Maybe he just wanted to be a little toned down, and he wants Shimon to come and rejoice with him and give him a gift. Yachalom lo, Shimon could tell him, bepumbi asa imcha kedar shas yisaimi. I'm only going to do it with you in the open, the same way you did it with me in the open. I had a big, large chasana. Everyone came. It was geshmak. It was well attended. I'm not going to rejoice with you and give you this gift that I'm chai. chayev if you're going to do a small little quiet affair. Similarly, asayim ubasula, if Shimon got married to a basula, ubikesh lasasim ubalmana, and when Reuben is getting married, he wants Shimon to come and repay that gift, even though he's marrying an almana, yachal lemer loy, Shimon could tell Reuben, bibsula asimcha, kedar shas yisayimi. I'm only going to rejoice with you if you marry a basula like you did with me. There's always less joy at a chasen of an almana than there is that of a basula. Another case, but here the other way around, asayim ubishnia, ubikesh lasasim ubarishaina, let's say when Shimon got married, it was his second marriage, and now Reuven's asking him to come and rejoice with him at his first marriage. When you get married to another wife, meaning when you're on your second wife, so then I'll rejoice with you, because that's what it was at my chasana. Similarly, if when Reuven came to Shimon's chasana, he was only marrying one wife, and now Reuven's getting married to two wives at the same time, I'm only going to rejoice with you if you marry one woman the same way that you rejoiced at my wedding, which was only to one woman. And with this, we conclude the sugya of Shishvinin with all of its varied and quite interesting halachas. And the Gemara continues. Tanabon, we have a braisa. Atir nichsin, if someone is wealthy in a chasim, which means he has a lot of property, he's a big real estate mogul, atir pumbi, or somebody who's wealthy in the open, which means he has a lot of animals, zehu bala gadais, this is comparable to a person who's a bala gadais, he knows how to speak in agadita, he's a great darshan, and this person goes all over the place darshaning. It could be in shul, on yontif particularly, when people gather and they just want to hear nice drushes, also often at events like chasanas and things like that, and these people are compared because this type of wealth and this type of ability to darshan are all very widely accepted and widely known. At the next category, utter slayim, someone who's wealthy because of coins, he's a money changer, so he's constantly changing coins, and utter tekoya, he's wealthy because he has tekoan oil, there's a lot of olives and olive oil in tekoa, and that's why these fellows are wealthy. Zehu bal pilpul, these people are compared to a person who's a bal pilpul, he's a very big mechadesh due to all of his analysis of the relevant sources, and this is like a money changer who's wealthy because of the coins, there's always coins going back and forth through his hands, that's like the mefalpil in limud, and his chidushim are very tasty, like this tekoan oil. Thinking on to the next category, utter mashach, utter kemas, one who's wealthy because of measured and stored things, namely grain, which is measured and then stored, zel bal shmuois, this is compared to a person who's a bal shmuois, he's a bal halacha, he comes out with the clarity in between sugyas and what the halacha lemaisa is, and he's not necessarily as sought after as the first guy, for example, the bal agada, but nonetheless he is very valued, like grain, which even though it's stored away, is eventually taken out, and then everyone wants to buy it to make bread. And that's what we conclude with, hakol tzrich lemar chitaya, everyone needs the person who has the wheat, and what's this referring to? Gemara. It's talking about the svaras of Gemara, analyzing all the different steers and the contradictions in Mishnayos, so that we can get a real clarity on what the halacha is. And now we have a pasuk about this, Amar Zera, Amar Rav, Ma'idach Sev, what's pshat in the pasuk? Kol yimei ani rayim, all the days of a poor person are bad. Zeh bal Talmud, this is referring to a person who's involved in Talmud and Gemara, and the reason why we're calling his days bad is because he's always deep in a sugya, trying to deal with contradictions in Mishnayos, sorting out all the different svaras and halachas, so we're calling that ani rayim because he's very orangutan in this. Now the pasuk continues, v'toiv lev mishnah Talmud, someone who's toiv lev, he'll always be feasting. What's this referring to? Zebal Mishnah. There's a person who only learns Mishnayos, and everything seems to be great for him because all he has to do is memorize what the Mishnah is talking about and the various opinions of the Tanoim, and he's not really focused on seeming contradictions between Mishnayos and getting into the deeper meaning behind it. So it seems to be that he's a Taiv Lev, who's Mishnah Talmud. However, Rava Amar Rava says Ipcha, it's the exact opposite. And behind Amar Mishasha Mishmei Rava, that's what Mishasha says in the name of Rava. Ma'idach Sev, what's pshat in the pasuk? Masia Avanim Yatzei Bohem, one who quarries stone. He cuts a stone out of the ground. He's going to be Yatzei Bohem. He's going to be wearied or tired out by them. And by Ke Eitzim Yusachin Bam, the one who cuts wood is going to be warned by them. Masia Avanim Yatzei Bohem, what's this referring to? Elu Bali Mishnah. This is referring to people who learn Mishnah. All you're doing is reading the Mishnah and putting the opinions into your brain. You don't understand how one Mishnah complements or contradicts another, and so really you're left in the dark, and that's a Lashon of Yatzei Bohem, a person's wearied by them. Whereas by Ke Eitzim Yusachin Bam, one who cuts wood is warned by them. Elu Bali Talmud, this is referring to people who learn Gemara, because the same way, when you cut wood, now you could burn it and it will warm you. That's what you do with Gemara. You delve deep into the sugya, trying to figure out all the steers and contradictions and shakavataria, so on and so forth, and at the end of the day, it's super geschmack. It's like warming you. And that's the opposite understanding of this previous pasuk of Koyme Ani Raim. Now, once we have this pasuk, we're going to have a number of other explanations. Reb Chanina Amar Reb Chanina tells us, Koyme Ani Raim, what's this referring to? Zesh Yeshla Isha Ra, this is talking about somebody who has a bad wife. Vitoiv Lev Mishta Talmud, Zesh Yeshla Isha Toiva, this is talking about somebody who has a good wife. Reb Yane Amar, he tells us, Koyme Ani Raim, Ze Istanis, this is referring to somebody who's finicky. Every time he sees something that's not to his liking, it grosses him out, it makes him repulsed, so all of his days are Raim. Whereas Vitoiv Lev Mishta Talmud, Zesh Daita Yafe, this is talking about somebody who's tolerant, he's able to handle things that perhaps might be viewed by others as repulsive and not so gishmak, but he's a toiv lev who's mishta tamid because he doesn't really care about these things. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he gives a different answer. Koyme ani raim ze rachman. This is referring to a person who has compassion, he has mercy, and so every time he sees somebody else going through troubles, that bothers him to the core, and so it's considered like his days are raim. And toiv lev mishta tamid ze achzari. This is referring to someone who's brazen, he's cold, he doesn't care about others, and even though he sees them going through troubles, he doesn't mind, and that's why he's a toiv lev mishta tamid. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, he tells us koyme ani raim ze shidat Kiptsara. This is referring to a stingy or makwit person. So all day long, he's bothered by this or that. V'tayvav mishtah tamid, zeshadai teruchava. This is referring to someone who's generous. Now the Gemara Kuf Mevav Amud Aleph on the top asks on the basic understanding of the pasuk, which literally translated means, kol yomei ani raim, that all the days of an ani, of a poor person, are bad. So for Amr Yishu B'Levi, he asks, kol yomei ani raim, all the days of a poor person are bad. V'ayik shabbasav yom tayvim, there's Shabbos and Yontif, that even though he doesn't have food during the week, he definitely has food on Shabbos and Yontif, because the Kabbalah Tzedakah makes sure that he has enough, and at least then it's not going to be raim. So how can we say, kol yomei ani raim? And the answer is Kedish Shmuel. It's like what Shmuel says. Damar Shmuel, he tells us, shunei veses tchilas chayli, a change of schedule, a routine, that's the beginning of sickness. And so even on Shabbos and Yontif, his ani has good food and all the delicacies, nonetheless, it causes stomach problems because he's not used to that type of food. And lastly, the Gemara tells us, Ksiv Sefer Ben Sira Koyme Ani Rayim. Sefer Ben Sira writes this pasuk, which comes from Mishle, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech. Ben Sira Emer, he tells us, Af Leilais. Even nights for the ani are no good. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishle, Kol Yimei Ani Rayim. His days are no good. Seemingly, his nights are good. He sleeps, he's peaceful, everything's great. But Ben Sira says that even his nights are no good. Why is that? Bishval Gagim Gagai. Because at the lowest end of the roofs, that's where his roof is. He can't afford to build his house so tall, and everyone's roofs are much higher than his, and therefore Mimtar Gagim Lagagai, rain from other roofs fall on his because it's lower than everyone else's, and he's bothered by all this rain falling on his roof. And also Barum Harim Karmai, on the heights of mountains, is his vineyard because he can't afford to buy land anywhere else besides on the highest part of the mountain. Therefore, may offer Karmai Lakramim. All the dirt of his vineyard gets washed away to the lower vineyards. And so here we see that according to Ben Sira, an ani has it rough even during the night. We're gonna stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah, continue to discuss these gifts between a chasan and a kala and whether or not they have to be returned. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.